The Cocktail Nation on WXLV Schnecksville, Pennsylvania. VX.
Now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Shocking news that the credit rating of the US has been downgraded by Standard & Poor, and it really made me think about the credit rating of the Cocktail Nation this week, so I thought I'd better ask the Fonz what he deems our rating to be. I think that sounds pretty good. Well, how about this as a concept? Jackie O. Jackie Onassis as a CIA spy. Sounds pretty far out, doesn't it? We'll find out more about that shortly with an author who's constructed a whole story around this concept. We'll check out a new movie set in the 1960s, it tackles race relations. Another book from Chris Pinto has been released, plus the best classic in Neo Lounge and Exotica from across the globe. Meantime, Pink Martini, and then you're gone.
My dear Lorenzo, you take my hand and understand the tears that I have cried. We light the candles and pour the wine and laugh as if you'll never leave my side. You take me in your arms and tell me that I'll always be the only one. And then you're gone. You come to see me on a Saturday, presenting peonies, knowing just what to say. We dance until the break of dawn. I turn my back and then you're gone. Swirling in a sea of stars, twirling to the strum of guitars. No one tangles quite the way you do, but now my dancing days with you are through. Your song, you swear your love, and then you're gone.
Cocktail Nation, thanks to Gillette.
Cocktail Nation with Mr. Ho's Orchestronica and Arab Dance. Tonight I'm joined by an author who's written a book that has been inspired by an actual letter in the JFK Library written by Jackie Onassis, revealing her job offer from the newly formed CIA back in 1951. The book is called Paris to Die For, and the author, Maxine Kenneth, joins me on the line. What a great concept.
It's a very unusual book because nobody really knew about this letter that was in the JFK Library, and which 21-year-old Jacqueline Bouvier at the time said that she had to turn down a job that she was offered by Vogue magazine because she was going to work for the CIA. And she actually says she had been trying to get this job for a while, and she was very glad to have it, and she could not turn it down, and so that was the story. So my co-author and I, he's a screenwriter, he and I got together, and we decided that, okay, what happened if Jackie actually took that job? And we have her going to Paris and getting into one adventure after another, and she has a romance over there, and it's very exciting. And of course, Paris is such a gorgeous city, and it just provided us with a lot of opportunity to have a really fun book with Jacqueline Kennedy's a CIA agent.
And I can imagine too, of course, I mean, here's a woman of sophistication and style, and I suppose it's almost like female James Bond, like, I suppose, in her suave qualities.
Absolutely. You know, it's been described as charade meets James Bond. And it's very much like that. And, of course, because she's Jackie, we have her doing very Jackie-esque things, you know. So when she arrives in Paris, she's supposed to meet this Russian would-be defector, and she finds him dead. And she's very horrified by this, and she's ready to flee the room. And as she's getting ready to leave, she notices a pair of shoes behind this curtain that's acting as a doorway in front of a closet, and when the shoes move, she realizes that somebody is in there and is very much alive, and of course she figures it's the assassin, and she's going to try to get out, but it's a sixth-floor apartment, and she doesn't want to go out on the to her death going out a window. It's the only way she could get out because she's got to walk past that closet anyway, and she figures he'll come out of there and kill her. So she decides to go after him, but she can't find a weapon. And being Jackie, she looks inside her purse, she finds a weapon, which only Jackie would find,
yeah.
And when she opens the curtain, she reaches into her handbag and sprays Chanel number 5 in the assassin's eyes, and he drops his knife. So the whole point is that only she could do the types of things she does to escape this assassin, who then, you know, starts chasing her all over Paris. And then she's also becomes a quarry of other people who are trying to get the so-called gift that the would-be defector left. She managed to get that one as he was dying, or he was actually dead, but he in his hand was this so-called gift, and that he was going to turn over to the United States. And what it is, it's a clue. It's a ticket to the opera. And so when she gets to the opera, then there's something under the seat in the opera, and that's a key. And she gets the key, and the key takes her to the Gare de Lyon. She goes in there, and inside is a piece of paper, and then on it is written third race at Longchamp. So we've set up a series of clues that lead you from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and it keeps you guessing, you know, and that's the whole idea of this type of thriller, is you don't know what's going to happen, so you keep turning the pages to find out what these clues are going to lead to ultimately. And so it's a thriller, but what makes it really, really different is having a CIA agent like Jackie. She's so unusual and has so much class and sophistication, and you wouldn't picture her as an agent.
No. Now, what year is this set in?
It takes place in 1951 when Jackie was 21 years old. Jacqueline Lee Bouvier then, and she was 21, and she had just graduated from college. And actually, her stepfather was Hugh Auchincloss, who was a very wealthy banker and very well connected in Washington. And he did get her this job. She asked him to get her something. And he made this connection with Alan Dulles, who was the acting director of the newly formed CIA and a friend of his, and he got her the job. But she subsequently got another job that she liked better because she really is a wonderful writer, Jackie, and very talented artist. And the other job that she got, which she took, was as the inquiring camera girl. I know it sounds kind of funny.
Yeah.
For the Washington Herald, Times Herald. And what she did in that job was something she was very well suited to. She interviewed the movers and shakers in Washington, D.C., whether they were in the sports field or in politics or the theater or entertainment. She interviewed them and she took pictures of them and sometimes drew little sketches of them. She's very, very good at doing sketches. And she looked for like the inside story on somebody or the human interest angle or something different. And her stuff was really good. It was supposed to be in the back pages, but often wound up in the front because the stories were really good. And as it happened, one of the people she interviewed happened to be this rising young congressman from Massachusetts by the name of John F. Kennedy. So that's how they sort of really hooked up and the romance began after that.
What's fascinating is that in the early days of the CIA, too, somebody of her background and education certainly would have been somebody that they would have been quite happy to have in the organization. I mean, nowadays you'd have to go through, you know, rigorous testing and training and all those sort of things. But back then in the early days of the CIA, it was very much who you knew in order to get into the secret organization.
Yes, well, you know, Kitty Kelly, who wrote the book Jackie O, she gave us a lovely blurb for our book, and she said, listen, this is not so far-fetched,
yeah,
because, you know, just as you just said, Jackie had the connection. Mm. She was from that kind of politically associated, connected family, and, you know, it wasn't so far-fetched. And actually, Ian Fleming's book, the James Bond book, was a favorite of John Kennedy. So you could sort of see that she might have, had she not had this other job that she finally did take.
She might have gone down that road. Well, look, it's a wonderful book, Paris to Die For. Now, you can grab it across various platforms. Probably what's one of the first places to go to grab this book, Maxine?
Well, Amazon.com, it's there. It's there in paperback. It's there also in Kindle. And it's very, very exciting. We just got news today that it's number one on the Barnes & Noble ebook list. It was singled out among the new and noteworthy ones. It's the first one on the list. So that
well
was
done.
Pretty exciting.
Well done. Maxine, the song we're going to play tonight is, I thought, rather appropriate. Hugo Montenegro and I Spy. Great to talk to you tonight.
Yes, well, it was great to talk to you. And good luck with your show. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
fighting the dyslexia epidemic by living fabulously. It's Coop Cooper on the Talk Kale Nation.
Cocktail Nation, thanks to Gillette and the Tikiaki Orchestra there from their new album, Aloha Baby, the song theme for Jet Setters. Well, based on one of the most talked about books in years and the number one New York Best Times selling phenomena, The Help stars Emma Stone. It's a fascinating book and a fascinating movie about three very different extraordinary women in Mississippi during the 1960s, who build an unlikely friendship around a secret writing project that breaks social rules and puts them all at risk. From their improbable alliance, a remarkable sisterhood emerges, instilling all of them with a courage to transcend the lines that define them. It's a new movie called Help. I definitely think you should check it out. It looks absolutely fascinating and visually rather stimulating. Time for some swank advice tonight. You know, many of us are a little bit addicted to our smartphones. I've got to say, I love my iPhone. It goes everywhere with me. I put it next to my bed at night. I never leave it sitting anywhere. It always stays in my pocket. It's got everything in it. Practically run this whole radio show from it, gathering information from across the globe for the show. So it can be kind of tempting to look at it constantly. But one of the problems with our smartphones, and something which I don't think is particularly suave or swank, is the fact that we do check them a lot. Here's the top five places where you shouldn't check out your smartphone. Number five, at the checkout. Now, here's a bit of advice. Order your morning coffee while you're checking the BlackBerry, the iPhone, and I can guarantee you that you're never going to be welcome in that cafe once again. Now, the barista spends 8 hours a day trading in brief interactions with customers, and you better believe me when I tell you that he remembers the one who aren't actually paying any attention to him. And maybe it might even result in perhaps not getting the very best coffee. Same as the checkout. So you're at the shop, picking up a few things. Pay attention to the situation. You'll be a more respectable person for it, and nobody's going to rip you off at the till either. Number four, camping in the woods. You're out for a multi-day camping trip with your buddy and a couple of gals. You got the tent, you got the stove, the eggs, the thermos. But you brought your phone instead of a map and a compass. Well, my friend, it's a battle of man versus nature. And guess what? You've just lost. Number three, at the wheel. Now, we've all done a few unsavory things behind the wheel. But they've been part of a greater life narrative, I suppose, that probably makes us who we are today. Eating Maccas because it was a road trip. Perhaps throwing eggs out your window on Halloween. Maybe whistling at girls when you're a young man cruising along through a beachside suburb. But at no time does taking your eyes off the road to check your Facebook status make for a good story. So get a manual transmission like a real man and put your phone away. Number two, at any performance, if you go to a gallery, a concert, or show, don't take out your phone just to check it. Otherwise, particularly if you're on a date, you're going to look like you're dating your phone, which leads me to number one, on a date. And I think we all knew this one was coming. That soft, dumb glow of a smartphone on your face is the dating equivalent of a red dot. Boom, date's over. And don't think that when your date goes to the bathroom that you can sneak a look at your email. You will get hooked. She will catch you. She'll see you sitting there slack-jawed and tweeting from across the dimly lit restaurant. Not a good look. If she's worth her salt, she'll skip dessert and she'll never see you again. If you have an important call, excuse yourself and go someplace quiet. So just get your priorities straight, buddy boy. Now, if there's a topic that you'd like covered, send me an email, thecocktailnation@gmail.com. And right now, Sir Julian and Dancero.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The Cocktail Nation, thanks to Gillette, the best a man can get.
Your eyes may be whole, but the story I'm told is your heart is as black as night. Your lips may be sweet, such that I can't compete, but your heart is as black as night. I don't know why it came at such a perfect time, but if I let you hang around, I'm bound to lose my mind. 'Cause your hands may be strong, but the feeling's all wrong. Your heart is as black as night. Such a perfect time, but if I let you hang around, I'm bound to lose my mind. 'Cause your hands may be strong, but the feeling's all wrong. Your heart is as black, your heart is as black, oh, your heart is as black.
Melody Gardot and Your Heart is as Black as Night. She's from Philly. And what a beautiful voice. The deluxe CD, My One and Only Thrill. Before that, we played Geno with Sumac. Well, some news that's just come through rather late. Around July 16. Sad news through that Kirby Allen has passed away. Now, Kirby Allen was a Hollywood record producer and a marketing mastermind and the man behind Geno. Sadly, he passed away in a fire, which is sad news. He passed away on June 7. The news just came through on June the 16th, and I just got it just the other day. The pairing of Allen and Geno was an unlikely one at the time. You had Allen, who was a white balladeer from the Frank Sinatra-type era, and the other was Geno, who was a lean black percussionist known for his primal banging of congos, bongos, and steel drums. Allen went on to produce several albums with Geno, as he said that he Americanized the primitive drumming of African music. We've played some of his music from time to time here. And what an amazing producer. But, you know, his music producing days may have been well behind him at the time of his death, but that certainly didn't keep him from looking out for new talent. He was always one of those guys that was aware of what was going on musically, according to a good friend. And he was always looking for the next Geno. His good friend, who's a disc jockey over at KWSS 106.7, said that he spoke to Kirby 2 weeks before the fire. And Kirby said that he knew a guy that he wanted to get into studio to re-record some of his old tracks to kind of hip it up for today's market. Dixon said he was still hustling Geno until the very end. I've got the whole story, if you'd like to check it out, up on our Facebook page, on the Twitter, Cocktail Nation Twitter page, and also up on the official website, cocktailnation.net, so check it out. Time for a review with Cooper, Flash of Noir, from Chris Pinto, who we spoke to several weeks ago. It's a collection of flash fiction short stories laid down old-school style by a mastery mystery writer that is Chris Pinto. Lots of fantastic short stories. You might like to check this one out. There's 40 stories of crime fiction, ghost stories, retro fiction, and some short beatnik poetry as well, plus some noir-esque original photographs by the author that make this kind of a nice, fast, fun read. So check that out, A Flash of Noir. If there's something you'd like me to review with Coop, shoot me an email, thecoctonation@gmail.com. Right now, Orchestra Superstring and Lola on a Bicycle. Thank you. Cocktail Nation for Gillette, Martini Kings and Fly Me to the Moon. Let's go to the Cocktail Nation open line. Hello.
Hello. I need to speak to Roger, please.
Roger. Roger. Is his last name Ramjet?
I have no idea.
Is it an out? Is that his surname?
I don't know his surname.
Not an out?
He rang me. He said it was Roger from the insurance company. And to ring back.
Right. The only Roger we've got here is Roger Healy.
Mm.
Yeah, Major Roger Healy. He's the only... Oh, hang on. There's another... there's a Roger Rabbit that works here. No. See, the problem might be that you've called a radio station and you're on air.
You're joking.
No. Say hello to Sydney.
Hello, Sydney.
Goodbye. I'm not sure why I keep getting those wrong numbers all the time. Time for a look at the world of swank now. Rapidly creeping up on us, August 18, Tiki Oasis in San Diego. Got Lushy at Vito's Friday, August 19. The MCM League's Madman Company Picnic is coming up on Sunday, August the 21st from 2 p.m. at Milwaukee Elks Lodge Picnic Grounds. This is in Portland, Oregon. Jennifer Keith playing every Friday and Saturday night at the Queen Mary, Long Beach. Do check out her fabulous show. Miss Ho's Orchestratica, August 27 in Bethlehem, PA, with the 22-piece Esquivel Big Band. And September 4, here's something you don't want to miss out. Waikiki Tiki, spend an evening in paradise. This is over at Don the Beachcombers with author Philip Roberts. Soon heading up to the Cocteau Nation blogosphere, and Frank Sinatra now, the girl from Ipanema.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ooh. But I watch her so sadly. Can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, I smile, but she doesn't see, doesn't see.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem, que passa, num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado parece um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.
Ooh, but I watch her so sadly.
Ah, porque tudo é tão triste.
Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall, tan, young, lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, I smile, but she doesn't see.
Por causa do amor,
she just doesn't see.
Nem olha pra mim.
On the Cocteau Nation, Coop Cooper, the unofficial sexiest man of the year.
Samba de preto velho, samba de preto azul. Mais que nada, um samba como esse tão legal, você não vai querer que chegue no final. Oh, ai, ai, oh. Opa, opa, opa.
Mais que nada, um samba como esse tão men who have everything design a new type of game.
The Cocktail Nation.
I'm discontented with homes that are rented, so I have invented my own. Darling, this place is a lover's oasis where life's weary chase is unknown. Far from the cry of the city, where flowers pretty caress the streams. Cozy to hide in, to sit side by side in, so let it abide in my dreams. Picture you upon my knee, with tea for two and two for tea. Me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see or to hear us, no friends, no relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known that we own a telephone. I won't tell a soul. Day will break, I will away, I will start to bake a sugar cake for you to take, for all the boys to see. We will raise a family, a girl for you and a little boy for me. Can't you see how happy we will be?
Cocktail Nation, thanks to Gillette, and one from the album that we spoke about last week. This is Vintage Now from 1955, Beverly Kenny and T42. Hi to some new Twitter friends, Mickey B, Paul Hannes, Julia Margelli, Thomas Rex. Check us out, follow us. Cocktail Nation is the Twitter name.
This is Deep Space Mission 9. We're now entering the blogosphere of the Cocktail Nation.
You know, there's one thing I just love talking about, and that's the swank lifestyle, being a sophisticated man or lady, and etiquette. I'm big on all of those things. And I found an interesting post on a blog that I have actually spoken about before, mid2mod.blogspot.com. They've got one on estate sale etiquette. And I've heard some horror stories. I must say, estate sales haven't probably been always the thing I've attended when it comes to buying furniture, retro furniture, vintage furniture. But they're very, very popular. I've been to maybe a handful of them. But one thing is very, very obvious. The earlier you get, and I never, ever get up early, the more likely you're going to run into dealers, people who want to buy and sell some mid-century modern stuff or just other antique furniture. A lot of them can be very, very pushy. In fact, a friend of mine, many, many years ago, had a fabulous 50s collection, decided to put some things up for sale, just a few items that she wanted to get rid of. And she had a garage sale. She said before you knew it, at about 5 a.m., she could hear people outside her window, looking through her window, which is just a little bit creepy, I've got to say. So anyway, check out this blog if you'd like to find out about estate sale etiquette and some of the things that often happen. It's a little bit shocking, I must say. Mid2mod.blogspot.com. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm going to leave you with Janet Seidel and Canadian Sunset. Stay hip.
Once I was alone, so lonely, and then you came out of nowhere, like the sun up from the hills. Cold, cold was the wind, warm, warm were your lips. Out there, out on that ski trail, I'd bargain for. Then I discovered you, and right there in your eyes I found a love that I couldn't disguise. And down, down came the sun, fast beat my heart. I knew as the sun set, from that day we'd never part.
XLV, Schnecksville, Pennsylvania. VX.